anymore. It's all right. How many of you went to Sunday school? Wow, more than half. Isn't that amazing? I wonder if you've ever sung this song in Sunday school. Now Zacchaeus was a very little man, and a very little man was he. He climbed up into a sycamore tree. He wanted to see. And when the Saviour came that way, he looked into the tree and he said, for there we are. Isn't that amazing? When Penny showed me this reading, I thought, that reminds me of when I went to Sunday school. It's a lovely reading, a little parable about it's not a parable, it's a story about a little man. And I'm going to read the story to you. It's in Luke 19, John. Sorry, I should have said that first. Before you get there, they make a Christian Easter egg. Did you know that? Well, they do. It was in the Sunday paper. And the problem is that the big companies won't sell it because it contains Christian literature inside the box. And it's very sad, I think, that we can't sell a Christian... They sold 86,000 of them last year, but it's online. Yes, it is online. It's a big seller, but you can't buy it in Tesco. So there. Perhaps we ought to change things about a bit, didn't we? Talking about petitions. Yeah. Anyway, Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Thank you.
Kettle bubbling up. Oh dear, lovely. Well, the theme of your talks, I believe, is new beginnings. Now, isn't it fantastic that at our age we can be thinking of new beginnings? Wow, it's wonderful. And this little story is something that I just felt God wanted to bring to us today, because it is possible, whatever age we are, to have new beginnings. Now, we join this story in Jericho, and many of us know, don't we, about Jericho, that famous story of how the Israelites went and captured it and walked around and they blew the trumpet and the walls fell down, a very well-known story. We know, too, that it was cursed. God said that a city should not be built here again. And you may ask, well, what is this city, then, Jericho, that Jesus is talking about? And we realize that they rebuilt Jericho. It's about a mile away from the old Jericho, 6 miles from the Jordan. And this is where the New Testament Jericho was that Jesus was walking through. We know a little bit more about Jericho, that it was used in a parable, wasn't it, about the man that went up from Jerusalem to Jericho, the Good Samaritan. Jesus used that story. And also we have two recordings in the Bible of miracles that happened, but they were all for blind people, blind Bartimaeus, and then another two that are not named, were healed in Jericho. So it was a well-known city, and it's the only recording of this story that is written in Luke. The other Gospels don't record this story about Jesus in Jericho. Now, we meet our first character. Wow, what a man he was, wasn't he? Zacchaeus, a very wealthy man. He was the chief of tax collectors. He probably had many men working under him. And I don't expect he was very popular because he made things on the side. He was always making extra money. The people were being sort of bled, as it were, with their money, because he was taking much more than should be his share. And we can remind it of situations today, can't we, of money and wealth. And so he would have been a very wealthy man, not many friends probably, and he was very small. And we realize that he was actually wanting to see Jesus. In this story it says, I wanted to see Jesus. And in Penhurst Church, in the church there, there's a little plaque that says, We would see Jesus, yeah. It's lovely, isn't it, that thought that that was written there, we want to see Jesus. And this was the heart of this wealthy tax collector. He actually wanted to see Jesus. He must have heard about Jesus and probably heard about the miracles that he'd performed with the blind people and many, many other stories. And he wanted to see Jesus for himself. And he goes to extraordinary lengths to see him. You can just picture this little chap, I sort of imagine him in rather stout, climbing up this sycamore tree, not very elegant for a tax collector. But he wasn't worried, was he? He was determined to see Jesus. And so he ran ahead of the crowd and he got up into this tree because he didn't want anything to get in the way of him seeing Jesus. And I wonder what there is in our lives that actually preventing us from seeing Jesus. It could be doubt. It could be fears. It could be our own relatives. We're too embarrassed to talk or go to a place where we can hear about Jesus. We wouldn't tell our friends. These are things that so easily can come in to stop us actually reaching out and seeing Jesus for ourselves. And he was determined that these things weren't going to stop him from seeing Jesus. So he climbs up into this tree. And it says in the Bible, if you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. And draw near to God, for he will draw near to you. They're wonderful promises that we really need to take hold of, because today we need to capture and meet Jesus for ourselves in new and living ways. We then see Jesus entering the situation. And it's rather interesting. In the Bible it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. He didn't actually have any intention of stopping in Jericho. He was just passing through. And I thought, isn't it tremendous that the Lord was willing to change his plans because he saw a heart that was seeking him? And I wonder how many of us are willing to change our plans. We get up, we set our day, we're going to do this, that, and the other, and we go for it. But if things come in between, we get a bit narked. I mean, oh dear, fancy that happening, the telephone going or somebody calling when we want to be doing something else. And how good are we changing our thought patterns, our willingness to change our plans? And I met a friend from the church here, and she was talking. She's a qualified nurse, and she's a specialized nurse, especially for children. And she was visiting a hospital to go and care for some of the patients she was asked to look after. And the ward was so busy, she could hardly get an opportunity to hear, get an update on the children she was caring for. And just as she walked past a side ward, there was a lady there. And because she was a trained nurse, she realized that the lady was taking her last breaths. So she went up to the nurse in charge and said, I do believe that lady in the side room won't be with us much longer. Can you send somebody to sit with her? But she first asked, was she going to have a resuscitation? And they read the notes and it wasn't. And the nurse in charge said, I'm ever so sorry. We're so busy. We just can't spare anyone. And so this nurse thought, well, Lord, though I'm ever so busy, I must sit with this patient. So she went and sat, and the lady passed away. And she thought, Lord, thank you that you enabled me to be willing to stop and do this, because she was very busy herself. She had other engagements. And wasn't that wonderful that she was willing to change her plans to be with that lady so she wasn't on her own? And she found out later that the relatives had only just left and the pastor had prayed for and anointed her with oil. So we do believe she was the Lord's. And but it was lovely that she was just there at that right time. But she had to be willing to say, I'm going to change my plans. And I think it's a word for us all, isn't it? Are we willing to change our plans if God's going to ask us to do something different? And so she was with that lady. Now, Jesus walked along the road, and he could have so easily walked straight past Zacchaeus, because there he was up the tree, and Jesus was on the road with probably his disciples and others. But he didn't. He looked up. He knew that Zacchaeus was there and was wanting to meet him. And what did he say to Zacchaeus? He said to him, come down immediately. There was an urgency in Jesus' message, wasn't there? That urgency. And I think this is a word for us. Today is the day we're having an opportunity to hear about Jesus. And we don't know how long those opportunities will be. And today is the day to take action in whatever God asks us to do. I was reminded of the story of in Cambodia. This Christian was reading his Bible in the morning, and he was reading from the part where it said the Ethiopian, who was it? Stephen, wasn't it? Joined himself to the chariot. And he just felt, as he read that passage, that God was saying, you do that. And he went out of his door, and just as he went to the door, there was a taxi. And he got into that taxi, he got out of his village, and the next minute they came in, and the people overtook that city. So God saved him. If he hadn't been obedient to what God had said, he wouldn't have been alive. He would have been murdered. So isn't it important that we do what God tells us to do? And I'm reminded too, the other day in Selwyn Hughes' Every Day with Jesus, there was this little bit that Selwyn wrote. In my youth, I was encouraged to share Jesus with someone every day and to be alert to every opportunity that came my way. At the age of 18, I was drafted into the mines to do a 2-year period of national service. The mining industry was more in need of help than armed forces, so I found myself, much against my will, working in a coal mine. One morning, deep underground, I found myself working alongside another young man, and we got chatting. I felt strongly impressed to share with him about his need for Jesus, but I put it off, so telling myself I could do it later on. I was wrong. An hour later, this young man lay dead, killed by a large stone that fell from the roof and literally flattened him. It shocked me so deeply that I was unable to return to work for 2 weeks. I asked God to forgive me for failing to respond to his prompting. So isn't it important that we do? We do make mistakes, and God forgives if we ask his forgiveness, doesn't he? But we need to act. And this was an urgent call for Zacchaeus to come down immediately. And Zacchaeus responded, didn't he? He came down immediately. And Jesus said, I want to come to your house. Well, what an amazing thing that Jesus wanted to come to Zacchaeus' home. And the verses that I felt drawn to in thinking about that was in John, where he says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. How incredible that the Son of God wants to make his home in us. And this is for us here today. Jesus wants to make his home within us. But we have to open the door of our heart, as it says in Revelation, that it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. The door, that is actually talking to the churches, but I believe we can take it for ourselves today, that Jesus is standing at the door of our heart. But we are the only ones that can open that door. Some of us have taken that step and opened that door for Jesus. But if you haven't, I do urge you today to take that step, because none of us knows how long we have on this earth. And it's so important, because it's only through Jesus that we can get to heaven. He's the only one that can do that for us. And some of us have made that step, but I wonder if we're really allowing Jesus to make his home in us. Is he comfortable in every area of our lives? And I speak for myself and for many of us, how we need to keep re-examining our lives, that we're actually doing the things he wants us to do. And it's so wonderful. I think it's one of the most wonderful miracles. When you look around the earth and see on television the incredible videos and stories of what we see of nature and the star and the planets and all these incredible things that the Lord has made. And that incredible thing too, that he wants to live within us. And if we have handed our life over, he's in with us, and we will never, ever be on our own. We can have no other human contact, but if we've got Jesus, we've got everything. And that is fantastic. What news? And this is the new beginning. This is the new beginning for those of us that haven't actually asked Jesus into their life. It can be today. You can have a new beginning today. And for the ones of us that have, we can have a new beginning, new things and new opportunities he wants to enter into. And the other week we were at a friend's funeral, And this lady died in a car accident. And the pastor said, Dorothy was not prepared for the accident, but she was prepared to go to heaven. And that is wonderful. And so that is what our challenge is today. Are we prepared? Have we given our lives to Jesus? And he just wants to come, just as he did to Zacchaeus, to come and have tea, have everything with us. And Zacchaeus responded, didn't he? He opened his life, and he gave back so much money to those that he'd actually robbed. He had what we call a conversion, a turning around, and he put things right. And today, if there are any things in our lives that need to be put right, we can do it today. Amen. Peter's going to come and just end this little part.
You know what he said to him? He said, salvation has come to your house today. I think that was the most exciting thing that had ever happened to that man, that he'd come to know the Lord that day. Maybe the Lord is saying to you, do you know me? Because salvation could come to you today. And what a party there would be in heaven if it did. Takes me back to when I was 19, or even less, actually 18 and three quarters, when salvation came to my life. Oh Father, we thank you that you give us salvation. You give us the opportunity to come to know and love you. You give us the opportunity to have you guiding our lives, guiding our love, guiding us in all that we do. And Father, I pray that if any are here today that just don't perhaps know you as their Lord and their Saviour and their guide, that you will come into their hearts today. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for all that you are in us and all that you're going to be. Lord, as we walk this life with you, we know that we're going to be with you in glory. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this message from Penny. We ask that you will continue to use her to your glory, and that each one of us will know your presence and your power in our lives in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.